We have here in our first year, back then we have a team of several critics, and we just rotate all the time. So the fact that the most vulnerable students first year of graduate school, they don't have any design before, so they are very vulnerable. They don't have anybody to follow, really. They don't fall into that trap. I think it's very, very good, because they find out that we contradict each other quite often not, and they finally have the, all we just do them, we just show them their, it's possible to have some method to work, to accumulate these things which you learn. So when you're ready to use it, you can use them. But it's forced them to quite quickly to come to their own method, and I think that's valuable. I think that that's maybe some really, really old-fashioned training was stifling, because it gives you one prescription and you have to do it that way. But on the other hand, I think you still have to go to the principal and acknowledge that they did not change. And you are not inventing new things, you just simply, they look different because you work with the different varieties. So no point for me to say that I would do something which looks totally wrong, so it'd be exciting, will be intriguing, will be disturbing. I don't think it's necessary.
The program at Raleigh had freshmen coming in, very young students, directly from high school. The program here has much more mature students coming in.
No, but we had before, we had the same thing for years.
Do you find a measurable difference between the two groups in terms of their ability to be able to deal with the issues that you think are important?
Yes, there is a difference, but it's probably technique dealing with them is different. With dealing with the very younger students, you rely more on their work. In other words, you just set the program such a way so they have results, and then they see it, and you build up their with more limitation, you build up their standards of performance, and they get used to it, and it really, really was, they're learning that way, while with the most advanced students, which are very good liberal arts background, you just can use paradox much easier to describe something than, let's say, you would do it with the freshman. For the freshman, you just have to show them a little bit more clear what you're talking about. But otherwise, no. They can, you have to build up the self-assurance in the young students differently than here. And when the student's more mature, he can more readily to be less impressed by good craftsmanship than, let's say, young freshman. But I remember always really establishing my authority, showing them, then showing off, I would say, making a very curved line and taking crocodile pen and absolutely make it absolutely even and perfect. That was probably what established my authority, which really was enough. But so I don't have to do that with the graduate students, no. So it's but really in reality that's the same thing. It's just a certain speed of them to hopping that a little bit more amusing examples where can choose with the graduate students, because they simply saw more, they read more, so you can quote something more, or because you expect them to know a little bit more, so it's a little bit bigger vocabulary, architecture vocabulary, or whatever it is, experience, bigger vocabulary in everything because of this extra few years. But with the experiments when I was in California here in Los Angeles, which that was probably the most difficult teaching I have ever done, and the most challenging, and I have best memory. It was the group of people which, students rather, which were, had no concept of integrity or quality art whatsoever, because the influence of the Hollywood was so strong there. Anything which photographs well, it doesn't make any. If it looks like a stone, or as well, if it looks like a stone, it's fine. Doesn't make any difference. Is it stone or no? And just to get to them, then really, if you take a piece of wood and it's really well done and well polished and well finished, it gives you certain pleasure. It was a very difficult thing to do, and that I was just simply. Just forcing them to do things over and over and over. I wouldn't dare to be so demanding, let's say, here. And that was the only way I can get across. And finally, they saw the difference. It took me probably from the beginning to the year to the Easter just to get across. But it did, and it was very pleasant. But that was simply just couldn't. I was desperate. I was talking about music. I was talking about poetry, which I never do. But I was willing to do anything. I couldn't. I just couldn't. It was no example I could show. I said, look, that's what I mean. So this, their own work, they're building their own quality of work. They saw that what really, that really does make a difference if things like looks like wood is wood, really. In the long run, it will show. So that was probably the most dramatic difference to working with somebody who had practically no experience in a sort of abstract thinking and knowing of it, what really interpret or call it in a visual world means.
Do you think that there's, I hate to put it this way, this is not I might as well just say it. Do you think that there's a hope that architectural education in general will start maybe changing its preoccupations with other things that are at least partially peripheral to architecture? We don't seem to be much more advanced in terms of any logical response to the environment than we were, say, in the early 50s during that really wonderful time.
I think we never go back to, let's say, thinking in terms of the building which just sits in all by itself and does nothing. But the other thing I think it's simply we grew up and we recognized the other influences, and working within them, it's absolutely necessary. It's again, it's another limitation that makes the work more gives more character, more personality to the work. But I think the mistake was recently, then one took that as the most important responsibility, which it's not. I think you cannot ever deny fact that you have to play certain role in all these things. We just have to accept that as a part of work. But finally come to the point then you and as an architect hold the pencil and you making a line, and you cannot abdicate that. So I don't think this architecture is mother of art, but I think it's at least a partner, and what we're doing is saying, oh well, things will come by itself. It won't. Because there, well, I think again, Kant probably said it. It's a question for him: is there a need for architecture, just like it's need for music? So, and if you accept the fact there is a, it gives you a pleasure, just like sitting in a concert in an uncomfortable chair for a few hours and enjoying the same thing, looking at the object, at the or space, let's say, if this makes, but. Pleasure. Of course, it was sort of not so clear because people were less aware of that. Especially here, they were never told, look, it does make a difference. Even very educated people, very refined people in other fields, somehow are willing to put up with something rather unpleasant experience visually and say, oh, well, that's not important. But so I don't think you can ever forget what was gained by involving with your architect, or rather feeling by him that he must be responsible with the other angles, like you call it peripherals. But I think that taking that as a only goal, I think it will lead to, for instance, I want the students to lead to the completely paralyzed. They were not able to draw the line because the question was, how can I? Do I have a right to decide for somebody else something? Well, and finally you come to absolute paralyzed. They just come with some outline of a program which somebody would have to decide, and it was nothing for them to do. They even were afraid to make any design at all. And that was the most dangerous. They were, that's over, thank God. But they were years when students really were simply wasting time, just because they were so concerned with how can they, saying, well, do you think you know them? Well, it was everywhere. It was not only in among our, the same thing in planners and so on. Planners themselves, as I have. I remember somebody in the faculty lunch asked me once, do you really mean then you tell your children what's right or what's wrong? I said, yes, I do. I don't claim that I'm always right, but I say it. So one has to take, especially because one feels that one has certain qualifications, somebody else doesn't have it, so. Otherwise, nothing to do.
Well, maybe that's a good one to stop on.